Welcome to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by you guys. It is a Sunday afternoon. Well, now it's a Sunday evening, and I am recording today's mailbag. Before we get to that, and seeing as we have an extra day here as the Lakers continue to await their Western Conference Finals matchup, I want to spend a little bit of time, so please allow me some time for some reflection, some... we moved into our house. We closed on our house on Friday. We've been moving in all weekend. I got to watch Avery kind of run all over our living room. I got to see our dog Callie run all over our backyard. I got to entertain family in my house, and I had a moment today because I was putting together patio furniture and we have a pretty nice view. So I just kind of sat there on the couch that I put together for our patio. And I had a moment to think back on everything that has led up to getting this house, not just in the process of buying a house, which anybody who has bought a house will tell you sucks, but with the show specifically, and you guys have been so great in supporting the show, supporting me, supporting Harrison back in the day, supporting Pete now. And I just, I live an incredibly blessed life. A life better than frankly I deserve. And it is because of the amount of support that you have given me. I cannot thank you guys enough. One day I hope to repay you in some better way than my rantings and my ramblings on this platform and whatever platform people want to lend to me. But I just, I got to say thank you, man. I really do. It's been an insane ride starting the show basically by accident, 5 years ago, whenever it was. And, it was Team Tank back in the day. It was, Lakers Late Night, the Lakers Lounge. It's been all of these different things with different voices, and even my own voice has changed over the years. I can't get myself to scream into the microphone the way that I used to, partially because there isn't as much to scream about. Byron Scott was fired. The rebuild through youth has passed. The Lakers now have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And as the Lakers have ascended, the lifestyle that you guys have allowed me to live has improved as well. So that's enough of me rambling and talking about something that you probably don't really care much about, but I do want to say thank you. It's the house that we're living in is beautiful. The schools that my daughter is going to be able to go to are going to be really good, and the life that she is going to live moving forward is pretty fantastic, and it's largely in part to the support that you guys have given me throughout the years. Let's go ahead and open up the mailbag, though. First question here comes from Kay Izzle. Thoughts on Rondo? He's the X factor. All right, so this is probably going to extend beyond the first segment here. I'm probably going to have to take a break mid-answer. But let's start here. For one thing, anytime I criticize a player, anytime I'm down on a player or I'm not optimistic about a player or a situation that the Lakers might find themselves in, I hope to be wrong, right? I was not particularly high on Kuzma. I thought he was tall Jordan Clarkson. I am happy to seemingly be wrong to this point. He's significantly better than I thought he was going to be. I could do the cop-out. I could use the cop-out where I say, well, who was actually optimistic about Rajon Rondo heading into the series? But that's lame. The fact that there were a lot of people wrong on this front doesn't make me any less wrong. He was great in the series against Houston. He was absolutely tremendous. He provided the things, other than game one, I wasn't thrilled with how he played in game one. And there were some stretches where he fell back into some bad habits. But when he was attentive and when he had his focus on defense and he pushed the ball in transition and he pushed the pace and he moved the ball and he allowed the offense to operate more organically than he tends to allow it to operate, he did everything that the Lakers needed from him and was a really big part, one of the biggest parts, quite frankly. The fact that he outplayed Russell Westbrook was huge. That probably won the Lakers the series. I don't think that's, like, there are a lot of factors, right? LeBron being LeBron, Anthony Davis being Anthony Davis. But when you're looking at, like Kay Izzell writes here, X factors in the series, Rondo is going to be one of, when you look back and you do the math on the series, Rondo is probably the X factor. The fact that he outplayed Russell Westbrook, the fact that he was a net neutral to net positive on defense, and then the way that he allowed the offense to operate made the Lakers a better team. And that is the entire point. I'm going to take a quick break here, but and on the other side of it, I'm going to talk about why I'm a little nervous about moving forward. But at least in this series, if you just look back on getting the Lakers into the Western Conference Finals, Rajon Rondo was huge, and I'm happy to have been hilariously and loudly wrong on that subject. Let's take a quick second here, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, I will continue answering your guys' questions, starting with, obviously, whether or not this stuff can continue with Rajon Rondo. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves or say things like, I lost my mojo, or avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and again, discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today and connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA. All right, so the picking up on the conversation with Rondo and how things might go for him in the next series, you have to start by looking back on why he was successful against Houston. And, you know, I mentioned Russell Westbrook, and I mentioned the fact that Rajon Rondo outplayed him. And the reason Rondo outplayed him was because there isn't really much, it seems, you can say to Russell Westbrook. He's going to be Russell Westbrook. He's paid, like, MVP Russell Westbrook, and even that Russell Westbrook wasn't the most efficient. You know, he didn't really lend himself fully to winning. There was, I'm not going to call his stats empty, because I do think there was immense value in what he was doing for OKC when he won MVP, but there were the teams that with Westbrook as the best player on it were always going to have a bit of a ceiling. And as his athleticism, he's still a freak athlete, but he's not as freakish as he was when he was younger. And the fact that his shot, not only did it not improve, you know, what has extended a lot of players' careers has been their ability to shoot improving over the course of their career. But I'm pretty sure Westbrook's shooting recently has actually gotten worse, which is not great. And, you know, when you're looking for ways for Rondo to be able to affect the series, you could start with, okay, we'll just put him on Westbrook. You know, and when Rondo wasn't in there, you had Anthony Davis on Westbrook. And what that allows those players to do is wreak havoc because you don't have to pay much attention to Russ. Like, you just don't. When he doesn't have the ball, it's not like he's going to spot up and shoot. And over the course of the series, especially with the improved attentiveness and effort, if Westbrook, like during the regular season, what made those Rockets teams very successful during the regular season was that Westbrook was able to attack the space and eventually get to the rim, or at the very least shoot a mid-range jumper that he is better at than he is at shooting three-pointers. But in the postseason, with everybody, especially the Lakers, being better in general, but also using more energy or playing with more energy and getting to spots quicker, that's that approach that Westbrook had of just trying to attack the space is not going to be as effective, right? Especially if, like Pete and I talked about in Friday's show, if you're attacking that space and the defense knows exactly where you want to get. And in the case of the Lakers here, they knew if he wants to get to the rim, if we could just get to the rim or beat him to the rim or get there at with enough time to challenge the shot without fouling, he becomes less of a player. And so, you know, we saw what it looked like. You know, it was absolutely dominating what the Lakers were able to do when they could put Davis on Westbrook. But even when you have Rondo on Westbrook, that means Rondo can run around and play the kind of defense he likes to play. He's smart enough to understand where plays are going to go and put himself there. And then because it's Westbrook that he's guarding, you don't even have to close out to the three-point line. You just have to try to get between him and the straight line that he's going to be driving to get to the basket. And as Rondo was able to do that, and as the Lakers were able to rotate around and do that, it really gummed up Houston's offense. And, you know, when you're looking at the teams that the Lakers could be potentially facing in the Western Conference Finals, you're not going to see a player as inefficient as Westbrook is. You're going to see guys like Patrick Beverley, who, for as hard a time I give him for being annoying and obnoxious and maybe a little overrated on defense, he is still valuable on offense as a shooter, right? If you give him forever to knock down a shot, he is going to make you pay. So if Rondo tries to wander off the way that he was doing with Westbrook and the ball finds Patrick Beverley, he can make you pay from three-point range in ways that Westbrook couldn't. And when Beverley subs out of the game and you're bringing in somebody like Reggie Jackson, who's a little Westbrook-ish, then Rondo might make a little bit more sense. But if it isn't Jackson in there and it's actually Lou Williams instead, well, he's really going to make you pay if you wander off him or if you try to recover and, you know, put yourself moving faster than maybe you're comfortable with it. He knows what angles to take to get to the line. And I think that's where Rondo will kind of have some issues in that series compared to how he looked against Houston. And then Denver's much of the same stuff, right? Jamal Murray, if Rondo spends any time on him, Lakers got to be really nervous about that because he's playing the best basketball of his life. And it's really easy to get it going, given where Rondo was at in his career. And then behind him is Monte Morris, who, if you wander off him and give him open shots, he is very capable. I think he's a 40% three-point shooter, if not very close. He's going to make you pay. So for this upcoming series, no matter who the Lakers play, I'm very nervous about how that looks for Rondo. Great series last series, huge in getting the Lakers here, but I would be a little nervous about Rondo playing upwards of 30 minutes a game against either of these upcoming teams. Let's answer another question here. So Tyson Chandler 783 writes, "Hey Anthony and Pete, huge fan of the show. Thank you. really helps make my morning commute. I have this crazy hypothetical idea that doesn't seem very far-fetched. With Lonzo's trade value being so low right now, it would not be crazy for him to be traded for Eric Bledsoe in Milwaukee, where he'll get to play with Brook Lopez again. While there, he can convince Giannis to team up and join him back in L.A. This would help Lonzo get his jersey up in the Raptors again and bring Giannis to play with Bron and AD. Given the probability, what are your thoughts on having Lonzo back on the Lakers? It'd be great to have Lonzo back in the purple and gold. P.S. This lineup would kill any team. One, LeBron, two, Zoe, three, Kuz, AD at the four, and then Giannis at the five. It would be a very good lineup. So I don't get the sense that Lonzo would jump at the idea of coming back to the Lakers. He was a part of trade rumors basically the entirety of his, you know, other than his rookie season, right? He was always up in trade rumors, and the whole ordeal with eventually getting traded to New Orleans, he doesn't seem all that interested. Like, I had a conversation with somebody over the weekend about Powell, right? How Powell would maybe convince Marc Gasol to come to the Lakers or to go to the Lakers for you know, a veteran's minimum or mid-level exception, whatever it is. And I, you know, I said, I don't think the Gasols are all that interested in doing business with the Lakers. And, you know, we had a back and forth, and what it basically came down to was most players who played as big a role as Powell did with the Lakers in getting multiple championships, they get to determine how they exit the franchise, right? Whether it's if they ask for a trade, then they get to be traded. If they leave via free agency, it's because they just made that decision on their own, though that normally didn't happen. Or, you know, if they retire, if they want to play out the rest of their career as Lakers, then they usually get to elect to do that. And in Powell's case, he was, just like Zoe, involved with a lot of trade rumors for the, you know, for the bulk of the back end of his tenure with the Lakers. And that, you know, tends to rub players as important as Powell was the wrong way. And frankly, rightfully so. So I think with Zoe, I think he's looking to kind of carve out and write the next chapter of his career. He was okay, I would say, in New Orleans this last year. I think he still had a lot of the same problems, but, you know, his shot seems to be improving, and I think he's really focused on making it work in New Orleans. And I think New Orleans is interested in making it work with him. So good luck to Zoe. And if he does wind up back in LA, cool. But I don't really see it happening, which throws the crazy hypothetical. It keeps it, it allows it to remain the way that you described it, as very crazy. And as far as Giannis and the Lakers go, I don't see him playing with LeBron in much of the same way that I didn't, you know, there was skepticism about Kawhi's interest in playing with LeBron. Weirder things have happened, and it wouldn't shock me to see Giannis ask out. You know, it was all that fun over the weekend where people found out that Giannis had unfollowed all of the Milwaukee Bucks that he played with, and the Milwaukee Bucks themselves, which is fun. It's really cool, you know, if you're into that kind of a thing. But what you really need to pay attention to first and foremost is how he handles this upcoming Supermax, which they can offer him this offseason. If he doesn't sign that, now you're cooking with, I don't know what it is that you're supposed to cook with, oil. Now you're cooking with gasoline, I think is the line. That's where you really have to, what you have to really pay attention to. But honestly, I hope you're not kind of paying attention to Giannis right now. The Lakers are heading into the Western Conference Finals. They might make a finals and might see the Celtics there. Like, the Lakers could very well go through the Clippers and then through the Celtics en route to tying the Celtics for most championships in NBA history. That should be our focus. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we have a couple more questions that you guys asked that I will answer. All right, today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com and try out the best tasting protein bar ever. Ever. You ever have a meal where the food was great? It all tasted great. You walk away from it and you feel like you ate a ton. You just feel like you ate a brick. And then there are other meals where you eat a ton and or you eat your fill and it's good food and it's nutritious food. And you get up from the table and you say, man, I feel full, but I feel great. And that's honestly how I feel after I eat a protein bar or a Built Bar especially. And that's what I basically start my day every day with. I have to give Avery, now she's not really drinking her bottles anymore. I have to actually make her, you know, whether it's oatmeal or you know, some egg or something like that, which means I have that much less time before I start my day to eat breakfast. And Built Bars have been phenomenal in this respect. So go on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. One more time, that is builtbar.com, builtbar.com, and then use the promo code locked on, one word, and you'll save $10 off your next order. Not first, your next order. So one more time, that is builtbar.com. Use promo code locked on to save $10 off that first, nope, first, second, third, fourth, however many orders you want to make of this Built Bar. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to make a bunch of them. Next question here comes from JRover76. Unreal that the kid got some burn time and looked like he belonged. This is about THT, I'm guessing. It made me chuckle because I remember how Phil Jackson used to get under D'Antoni's skin, and this was almost like Vogel's way of sticking it to D'Antoni. I guess you can put anyone out there in the backcourt with Caruso and good things will happen. That is a fantastic review. Great job, JRover76. Look, I do think there is something there with THT. I really do. I think his length in and of itself takes people by surprise. So I'm not comparing him directly to Giannis. Giannis is his own entity. He's incredibly unique, and I don't think we're going to see very many Giannises ever again, if any. But one thing that Giannis does, if you ever notice it, he dunks on a lot of people. And in the NBA, a lot, you know, most players understand how to get out of the way, make their business decision, and not get dunked on. But for some reason, it doesn't quite happen with Giannis. People, you know, players mistime things and get dunked on. And what I think that has a lot to do with is he's dunking from areas of the court that you don't think, you don't anticipate are where you can, a human being can be able to dunk from. And that's due in large part, obviously he's a great athlete, but he's also insanely long. And while I don't think THT is going to be dunking on people the way that Giannis does, I do think there are times where he rises up from maybe a half a step further out in the key. And because his arms are so long, he can still release the ball from closer to the rim than the defense anticipates. And that makes it very difficult to try to time it. He seems to have great touch. Pretty good instincts, and that length is also going to be huge on defense. You know, you think about why Caruso is as impactful on defense as he is. A lot of it has to do with understanding of defensive principles, doing your homework about what teams are looking to do, and putting yourself in great places to be able to impact the defense. Well, you add, if THT is able to learn those same things and utilize his athleticism and his length, which I don't think he's the athlete that Alex Caruso is, but he's longer than he is. And you can't teach length. So if that shot can come around, if the ball handling can continue to improve, and he continues to finish at the rim the way that he seems to be capable of finishing at the rim, I'm not saying he's, you know, some incredible player. I'm not saying he's ever going to be an all-star or anything like that. But appearing at the age that THT is, appearing to belong in a high-level playoff series is impressive, bar none. That's all that needs to be said there. And it was really cool to see him. I really like the comparison of what Phil used to do to D'Antoni. D'Antoni seemed to lose his mind over the course of the series to the point where, as is reported, he stepped down from coaching the Rockets, which honestly, I kind of get. I really kind of understand why he did that. Two more questions here. Saul the Kid writes, what does a championship parade look like this year? For the Lakers or any other team, will it just be the team at Disney World getting to ride all the rides, a parade with Mickey Mouse and Goofy? I have no idea what it's going to look like. The priority here, first and foremost, is to remain safe. And as cool as it would be to get together and celebrate the Lakers winning a championship, you have to be smart and you have to be safe. And that's all that really matters. That said, the Lakers are very good at finding cool ways to celebrate their achievements, whether that's a team thing, an organizational thing, or an individual thing. The Lakers are among the best teams in the NBA at celebrating those things and making it cool. Like, what comes to mind is the time that they moved. They somehow brought the Staples Center court to the middle of the Coliseum, and they had their parade end there, and everybody was there. You had people inside the building. You had a ton of people outside the building. It was televised, and everybody watched. I don't know if they encourage any kind of a mass gathering, because that's pretty irresponsible. But if they can do something over Zoom that finds a way to celebrate this thing and allows the city to participate in that celebration, I have my confidence is pretty high that they would find a way to do that. Let's go one more question here. This comes from 0973AK. Hey Anthony and Pete, my name is Alex, coming all the way from Indianapolis. I first want to say that I absolutely love the show. Thank you. It's been a part of my daily schedules since for the entire baby Laker phase, so I'm happy that we got to talk / hear about winning basketball. My debate question is this. Shouldn't we root for the Celtics to be just good enough to lose to us in the finals as many times as possible? I feel like it would be the most beautiful and perfect way to end the NBA bubble playoffs and a 4-2 win against the Celtics on my birthday, October 10th. Just wondering what you guys thought about that. Anyway, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work. We're trying. So Pete and I, this is one of the things that we disagree on the most, right? He is anti-rooting for the Celtics under any circumstances whatsoever. I, however, like if the Lakers look like they are just significantly better than the Celtics, which I think to this point in the playoffs, I think you can actually say that. If the Lakers look like the better team, I want to see the Celtics win through the playoffs and then eventually see the Lakers in the postseason. Pete never wants to see the Celtics win at all, which, look, there's a lot of people who agree with that approach. But personally, if it looks like the Lakers might see the Celtics, let's just bring it on. Let's just see what that looks like. Let's get to that series. Let's get through that series and then celebrate together as the Lakers tied the Celtics with championship number 17. I don't know. I'm interested in what you guys think on that. Make sure you guys send me an at either at Anthony Irwin LA or the better way is to at Locked On Lakers, because that notification bar doesn't move quite as quickly as mine can. But yeah, send me an at. Let me know what you guys think on Twitter about how you feel about the Celtics winning just enough so that the Lakers can knock them off in the finals. Personally, I think it'd be a pretty sweet way to finish off an otherwise absolutely horrid year. But I don't know. I also understand those of you who are a little nervous to see the Celtics in the finals, given the way that 2020 has gone elsewhere. Like that sentiment was enough to get Pete to literally walk away from his mic a couple shows ago. So, I understand those of you who are nervous about that. But personally, I bring them on. Fuck the Celtics forever. Let's just knock them off ourselves. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys a ton for the questions. And like I said at the beginning of the show, all of the support that you guys have given us, you legitimately, you feel like a part of the family. And you know, you've helped my family live a pretty cool life. So thank you guys a ton. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow when Pete and I will know a little bit more about who the Lakers might be facing. No, we won't know more about that. I guess we have another day off. Yeah, because the Nuggets won today, so they'll have tomorrow off, and then they'll play on Tuesday, at which point we'll know who the Lakers are playing. So Pete and I will find something interesting to talk about tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's.